We're in Siman Tov Nun Dalet, Sif Gimel. The Mechaber says, Leika b'zman hazeh, diyada l'michlat. There's no one who knows how to do chalita nowadays. Hilka komi chalita aser, therefore all chalita is aser. Mishnah Berurah explains. The mitzad hadin, boiling the flour, meaning putting the flour into burning hot water, when it's on the fire before the lisha process, and then doing the lisha, and then making the dough. So in general, we're not choshish to say that it already became chametz from the boiling hot water before you started to work it with your hands, because boiling hot water makes the cooking of the flour quicker. And then once it's being cooked quicker, so then it doesn't come to chametz at all. But the Gaonim prohibit this because we're not bekiyin in how hot the water has to be or how to do it. We're afraid the water might not be hot enough beforehand, and therefore it will cause it to become chametz. The Mishnah Berurah says that even though this is true, still the Achronim write that when you do the chalita, if it gets mixed up into a tarovah, so then it's only going to aser b'mashehu when it comes to eating. But for hana'a purposes, or to keep it for bayir abayi matzeh, if there's a mixture of chalita with other things, so then it's not going to prohibit. The Achronim also write that someone who has a sickness of some sort in their stomach, and the refuah that was prescribed to them is to boil up barley or shibula shual and place it on their stomach. So if they get that on Pesach and they are cholish yesh basakana, so then Yisrael is allowed to cook do the chalita on the seorim or whatever it is that they're told to do, to boil it up in the water, even because it is a sakana. However, they should do it in the best possible way, meaning to be martiach the mayim first and then to pour the seorin in, because anytime you're able to do something in a more mutter fashion, you're supposed to do it. Now, when it came to a tinok, where there's a requirement to feed it chametz in a place where there's a sakana to the child, so earlier in Siman Tov Nun, Sivka'an Yedches, the Mishnah Berurah said that you don't have to be makbid on the Isra of Bal Yerah to give it to a Nachri or anything like that, to be makbid, to put a machitza up between it or anything like that, because you don't have to do things to lessen the Aveira. So why not? Here he says you should do it something to lessen the Aveira, even if it's a Makom Sakana, and over there he says not. So it could be, the Dirshu explains, it could be that earlier it's talking about where there's a Chashash Sakana, that if you slow down the process at all in order to do it in a more mutter fashion, like giving it to a non-Jew or something like that, so then it's going to cause a sakana. But over here, there's no sakana to do it in a slower fashion, because you're going to get it to him anyway. So maybe we only say that you should do something in a more mutter fashion in a makom sakana if it's not going to prevent the refuah from happening as quickly. But if it's gonna slow down the refuah process, so then we wouldn't say that you need to do it in a more mutter fashion. Do whatever needs to be done, since it is a makom sakana. The Mishnah Berurah says that if there is no sakana involved, it's a cholish embo sakana, so then chalita is not going to be mutter, since we're not pekin and we're afraid that you're going to violate bayir abayi matzeh. If a non-Jew does it from his own stuff, or he gives it to a Jew before the chalita, so then that's mutter even by an embo sakana. The Chaye Adam writes that when you have soldiers, non-Jewish soldiers, that come to your town on Pesach and force the Jews to cook chametz for them, if they're able to be mefayis them, to appease them by cooking something which is not chametz, so like kusemet, so it's better to do that. And if they can't satisfy them that way, so give them grisim of seorim. And if they could be matzel themselves through giving mamon, through giving money, then for sure they would have to do that instead. But if not, so then the Jew should be careful to do chalita on it, to place it in boiling hot water beforehand, before cooking, to give to the non-Jew, because then at least it's possible that it's not going to be chametz gamor. But other things, if you don't do the chalita on it, so then it'll be chametz gamor, that's going to be a problem. Siv Dalid. Ein adam yotze dechovasa b'matzah gzula. You're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah with stolen matzah. The Mishnah Berurah says that even b'dieved, you have to go back and eat it again. The Shagas Aryeh writes that even on Leil Yom Tov Sheni, you're not yotze with matzah gzula. Even though by Sukkot we say that only the first day you're not yotze with a lulav that's not yours, but the second day you would, By Pesach, we say that even the second night, you would not be yotzei with matzah gzula. Why not? So we learn from challah, the gzereshava of lechem, that just as over there, a person can't be mafresh challah from someone else's isa, because of ariso sechem, so too here. It's only gzula, but if you borrow matzah from someone, so then you're going to be yotzei, because you borrowed it in order to eat it and not to give it back. That's obvious. So it's yours completely. The poskim write that you should be careful when you bake a lot of matzah in one oven, and sometimes the matzahs get mixed up. You don't know whose is whose, so you should say, anyone who this matzah gets to, it should be theirs b'matana, because otherwise it's a chashash of matzah gzula. These Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achronim who say that it's best to say this when you're grinding up the flour, because sometimes the flour gets mixed up and you don't know whose is whose. There's another thing that happens, says the Mishnah Berurah. If you purchase matzah and you take it into your rishus, if the mocher makes it clear at the time of the mechira that he needs the money, so then you can't do it on credit. So then you're not yotzei if you don't give him the money right away. So it's best to purchase the matzah with cash if you can. But most poskim say that nowadays a check works, etc. So we see there's a requirement that the matzah be yours. If you're eating this Leil HaSeder at someone else, and you want to be yotzei with the matzah that the Baal HaBayis gives you, so the Imar Bina says l'chora, the host has to be machavin to be machne you the matzah, because otherwise the guest is not actually getting matzah that's his. It belongs to someone else. The Sfas Emes writes similarly, Rav Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach say that you should be mahader. The Baal HaBayis should be mahader to announce beforehand that he's machne all the matzah to all of the guests. However, if you didn't do that, Rav Yashiv says, me'ikar din, you're going to be yotzei, because clearly once the Baal HaBayis invites you for the meal, he definitely has in mind that you should be able to be kona the matzah for yourself to be yotzei. Shlomo Zalman Orbach gives another reason why the Minhag Olam is not to be machne, because maybe possibly like the Mari Kirkus and the Kesem Mishnah and the Das Rambam, then when it comes to Achilas Matzah, it's enough that you have a heter Achila for it to be considered yours. You don't actually have to be kone it. Rav Nissen Karelitz says that the Chazon Ish was not machne the matzos to the people, and the Stipler also says that the Oreach, the guest, does not need to be kone the matzah, because once he gets it into his mouth, so then it becomes his completely anyway. One more interesting point, the Baralacha quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, who brings a Ritva, who says that even when you steal matzah, and there's a Shinu Maisa, there is a Shinu Maisa, since when you chew it up, you are and you swallow it, you're a kona Shinu Maisa, and the mitzvah occurs afterwards when you actually swallow it. So putting it in your mouth, chewing it, is where you have a Shinu Maisa on it, and then swallowing it is where you actually yotze the matzah, because bala matzah is yatzah. So therefore, he says you're going to be yotzei in this case. And even though Ladina we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, like Rov Poskim, that you're not yotzei in this case, and you need to go back and eat the matzah again, that belongs to you. Still, when it comes to a bracha, to go back and eat again in such a case, maybe we should be choshesh for the Ritva, who says that you're already yotzei in this situation, and you wouldn't make a bracha, even though you have to eat the matzah again. What about when it comes to maror? So the Baruch Halacha says, when it comes to maror, the Knesset HaGedola says you are yotze b'dieved with stolen maror, and the Pri Chadash disagrees, because he says we are makish matzah to maror. The Shagas Aryeh holds that also by matzah gzula, the psul is because of mitzvah b'aveira, not just because of you require shalom, and therefore by maror, which is only midrabanan, a mitzvah b'aveira midrabanan, which the Mechaber and Tafresh Memtes Hey says you are yotze b'dieved, so you'd be yotze anyway. But according to the Rama over there, who says that we are noeg like the poskim who say that even by midrabanan, mitzvah b'aveira is pasul, so then by maror you wouldn't be yotze either. And the Baralacha's maskana is, lingam bracha, for sure, you should be careful when you take the maror, again, that you shouldn't make a bracha again, but if you did use stolen maror, you should fulfill the mitzvah again without a bracha. So two possible reasons why matzah gzula is a problem, either because it's eino shelo, or because of mitzvah b'aveira, and either way, what comes out is that if you eat stolen matzah, you would have to eat the matzah again, but without a bracha because of the ritva. So to buy maror, you'd have to eat the maror again, but without a bracha, because it could be it's a mitzvah b'aveira b'derabanan, and therefore because of all these things, you wouldn't make a bracha when you do it again. And most poskim say there's no reason to be machne, the Baal HaBayis to be machne, the matzah to you, but you can if you want.